It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Good afternoon, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, on the board.
I got it now.
On the board. Kobe Slagle, who's got it now.
I've got it now.
Okay. And you know, Kobe, I think, depending on time goes, that that musical interlude you were talking about, if we have time, yeah, we'll do it.
Okay.
It might cut into your segment.
That's fine.
What is Kobe watching? Which is on a little bit later. In studio, first time I've had her on the show, but not her first time on the show. It was one of those times when I was on vacation or had some high-paying gig.
You were busy.
They happen. I'm sorry, I was busy. So I'm glad to have you here. Gina Wagner of Haunted Flower, how are you?
I am doing well.
How do people get in touch with your views and your thoughts? And nothing else. Hi, Dan.
Well, my site is hauntedflowerreviews.com, and you can also find my stuff on indiemojo.com. I'm the official film critic there.
There you go. Well, it's been a very long week for a lot of people, and you'll hear a little bit of that a little later on. But however, I do want to start the festivities on a high note. I want to wish a special ninth birthday to Film Sociology kids film correspondent Emma Soce.
Yay!
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay!
And she would have been here talking about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray, except, well, my wife is directing a play that opens tonight at Earlham College. So as soon as this show is over, sorry, groupies outside the building, I got a book. So I'm seeing a play called It's All in the Timing, which is going on at Richmond at Earlham College in Richmond. So we're seeing plays on my daughter's birthday. This is why my family is known as the Paltrows.
Play.
You know it?
They did it in my high school.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. See?
I remember that.
Well, this is college, so it's going to be a slightly better version. Unless your high school is was amazing, had an amazing theater department. What high school?
Lance Cruz High School North in Michigan.
Well, let's move on. Opening in theaters, also Megamind, which I know the kids film correspondent wants to see badly. Not on her birthday, though. We're seeing a play. Also, we have the French film Heartbreaker, Race Across the Sky 2010. And as a part of is it part of Spirit in Place? No, it is not. The localized food is part of Spirit in Place. And then Tar Creek, which is also opening this weekend. But one of the big titles, for those who didn't get enough of The Hangover and Fat Furry Guys, not named Matthew Soce, there's Due Date with Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, good. I can't say his name either.
I can't either. Although Melissa Davis, who's in the other studio, can say it and actually has a story, but we can't talk to her because she's working.
Oh.
And Academy Award nominee Robert Downey Jr. It are two guys who don't know each other and they get to know each other.
Where's your dad?
No idea.
When's the last time you saw him?
1977. He had his bags packed by the front door and he picked him up, put him in the back of his car. Drove away. Last time I ever saw him.
It's so funny. Oh my gosh.
My dad would never do that. He loved me.
If you're going to travel with me to Los Angeles, I got to give you a couple guidelines. Number one, don't ask me a single question.
What's your favorite color? What age did you lose your virginity? Do you like hot dogs?
I once ate a foot-long corn dog on a nude beach. I'll never do that again.
Number two,
if you're allergic to waffles, don't eat waffles.
Then don't take me to a Waffle House.
If I miss the birth of my child, I'm going to choke you out with your own scarf. Wrap that thing around your neck and choke you out.
Seems a bit drastic.
Holy moly, like I'm traveling with a child.
Did you use the restroom?
Good point. I need to take a pee-pee.
Check this thing out.
I can't believe I did that.
Alan Burr!
Don't panic! Don't panic!
I'll see if the rental agreement's in the...
Well, you know what? I have coverage.
Is that a drainage ditch coming up?
Yes, it is.
Real hard.
Hold Sonny.
Nope. Hand me that dog. I will rip it in half.
You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
All right, two guys in the car screaming at the same time during the trailer. Not a good sign, folks. Sorry. It's not. How many times have we seen that? This is where I put up my black socks and tell you damn kids to get the hell off my lawn. But
oh, come on.
I'm sorry. There's a thing called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, only there's no trains in this picture.
Yeah, I did kind of wonder, what are they going to substitute for the trains?
A pickup truck and a dog. That's really about it. This is from director Todd Phillips, who gave us Old School and The Hangover. And the two actors are fine. I smiled more than I laughed. I have to admit this. A couple things that kind of puzzle me. One, it took four screenwriters to make this thing.
Really?
Yeah, it did. I study credits, especially the ampersand and written out and thing. And also the fact that it's a much more mean-spirited picture than even the trailer alludes to. Yes, Robert Downey Jr. threatens the dog and in all sorts of ways. But these two do things not with each other, not to each other maybe, but there's just no proper wording of that. But there's a few moments that just really rub the wrong way as far as what they do with each other. One that Downey does early on and one that does later on. And because it's from the director of The Hangover, there's lots of big stuff. Big crashes and big screamings and a big furry guy. That's Zach. There's a couple of cameos. They're not really cameos, but Danny McBride. I'm sure when the DVD comes out and there's a two-disc unrated version, there's going to be at least 20 minutes of material with Danny McBride, Juliette Lewis, and Jamie Foxx, who have nothing to do in this picture as well. Gina, your thoughts?
Well, let's see. The only difference that they really brought in to update it, if you could call it that, is, hey, let's have some drug use.
For medicinal purposes.
For medicinal purposes.
And I don't know if it's a remake of that, but it's just, it's a road picture, and it's a two guys who don't like each other that wind up liking each other by the end of the picture.
Oh, yeah. You've seen this movie time and time again. It's just different players.
That's about it. I mean,
similar roles. You have a straight guy who's uptight and calms down, and then you have a weird goofball guy who's kind of doing a danger to himself
and kind of doing a slightly prissier version of what he did in The Hangover.
Yeah, yeah. I missed the pager. You know, I think that should have added something.
And retard. Also, not in this picture. So no, it's. Some people will like this, I suppose. There was some roarious laughter in the screening we were at on Monday.
Oh yeah, but there's not a lot out there right now for comedies. So if you're really bored, I'd still think about going to see it. I'm not saying I recommend it and that it's wonderful, but it's better than horrible.
What was your view on The Hangover?
I really thought that The Hangover was pretty funny.
I do too. I wasn't sure because there are times I wonder if I'm just getting too damn old at 40.
Oh.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
You're 40.
Thank you, Mike Gundy.
Yep.
So, because there were times, and I think also this was, and this is not a, this is probably a film I would like a lot more if I was 20 years younger or 30 years younger, because I kind of felt that way with Old School. And Hangover, I think I liked a little better. So, but this,
I liked The Hangover, but I wasn't crazy about it.
Wasn't crazy about it.
No.
And there's no boxers singing the bad Phil Collins tunes in this one. And that's probably okay.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, Mr. Tyson was in not one, but two films that opened in Indianapolis the same weekend, that and his documentary.
Yes.
Documentary. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Slightly better. So there, yeah, it's the grown-up comedy that's opening this weekend, so I'm sure it'll be number one at the box office. Not that that really says anything, but some folks are going to be seeing this. Have fun.
I think it's overrated.
Shut up, you!
As we said before, Megamind is also opened in theaters today. And Gina, you had a very documentary-heavy Friday.
I did.
And I mean, one that the show will be talking about a little later on, which we can't talk about because the documentary snipers are outside the window. But
I see them.
Yeah, you see them.
There's red lasers.
They're
in here.
Harsh. But you did see what has already opened in theaters, Waiting for Superman.
Yes.
The school system is going to hell in a handbag documentary. How'd that work out for you?
The educational crisis.
Is that what it is? Is there a Melissa Etheridge song in this one too?
No, but they did use Taking Care of Business again. I couldn't believe I heard it back to back.
Hey, Bachman Turner Overdrive needs to eat too. And I'm kidding. There's no Melissa Etheridge song. This time it's provided by John Legend. So no, how was the documentary?
Oh, man. Emotional. Mm-hmm. I mean, you set up these kids and they're pointing out these individual stories between kids in different areas like Harlem and the Bronx. And, oh, their school
Carmel.
Is horrible. Yeah.
No, they're not. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different documentary subject matter. Sorry, basketball team.
Oh, yeah. But they just set it up. It jumps around a little bit, showing about what's happened the last few decades and what's happening now and how they're trying to do things, but their hands are tied. And watching these kids who want an education but can't get it, just, oh, pulling at the heartstrings.
And Al Gore chasing after Man Bear Pig. Because he's Man Bear Pig is the reason for everything that's wrong in this country. Always has been, always will be.
Yep.
But, no, and I haven't seen the film yet, although my daughter, we got lucky. She did get into a lottery and got selected into a school. I saw that in the trailer and thought, wow, there's NBA drafts with less drama than this.
My
and NBA drafts are, boring. So.
Oh, they're pulling it out. They had like a little counter going like this many spaces left and now there's only one space left. The kids are hopefully looking up. It's getting dramatic. The slow music is playing. Oh my God.
Wow. So did it work? Did it have any solutions?
This one actually offered some, unlike the other documentary I watched today that was all doom and gloom and no hope. This one, basically, they kind of want to change the way teachers' unions are in order to actually make a difference.
Okay, so would you recommend it?
I would, actually. I liked it. I liked it better than the first documentary I saw today.
Which we'll talk about much later on. So
it's a mystery.
Yeah, it's not a mystery. I just can't tell you. We have policy and things. Okay. That's what it's called.
You will never know.
We had a contract and it says policy and things. You have to read
That's how we do things here at Film Sociology.
You have to read the
it's
policy.
On the wall.
You must definitely read the things.
Yes.
So
it has a nice frame.
It does have a nice frame. Mm-hmm. And no, Mrs. Sosie is not the photo that came with the frame or the wallet. Often heard, never seen, vice versa. All right, we're going to take a short break and talk about some titles, old and new. I know one in particular that Gina is all giddy about on DVD
Yay.
And Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
And the video store is open. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Gina Wagner of Haunted Flowers sitting in. Kobe Slagle's working the board. And by the way, Kobe, the guy who says you have the one with that one guy, that's right up there with the guy who comes up to me and says, you know what you should play? somebody thought they'd be cute and put something on Facebook wanting requests.
I'm going to.
No, you're not.
Okay.
We still have what?
Are you going to be in there over there tomorrow night?
Yes, I'm going to be in there. I got a full plate of music for tomorrow night's program.
Okay.
So, duly noted.
We'll expect a phone call.
You'll get nothing and like it. This is the reason why we don't. There's a reason why we don't have a hotline because of idle threats like that. I'll take text.
Okay.
Are you gonna come
I'll
by
text
the,
in my request.
Are you going to come by the building tomorrow?
No, I'm not going to come by the building tomorrow. I'm just going to harass you.
Via text is fine.
Okay.
Just give me a boatload of quarters to pay for my text bill when you get back.
Okay. Make sure you bring in Mark Broussard's Karen Crow CD.
Yeah, okay, duly noted.
Okay.
Yeah, get right on it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, as I said before, the kids' film correspondent, her birthday is today, and one of the things she got for her birthday is the big title that is out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. It's Toy Story 3, a film that asked, did we really need a third one 11 years after the fact?
And we did.
Well, it didn't matter. Yeah, we wound up getting it anyway.
You will get it and like it.
Well, some more than others. So, but yeah, it's Woody and the gang taking one more lap with a big check, and it's Pixar, and expect some sad stuff and a lot more toys. Hit it.
Red light mean it's going.
I've been cool. I've been home. Now for a while. I guess most of my dreams have come true. With it all.
Andy's going to college. Can you believe it?
Mom, I'm not leaving till Friday.
What are you going to do with these old toys?
Because I never knew.
You get it? We're finished. Obsolete. Over the hill.
Now, come on, guys. We all knew this day was coming.
We're getting thrown away?
No, no one's getting thrown away.
We ain't ever getting played with.
Hold on. This is no time to be hysterical.
It's the perfect time to be hysterical.
Should we be hysterical?
Now.
Yes. Maybe, but not right now.
Come on. Let's see how much we're going for on eBay.
New toys!
I'm gonna get played with!
My nose.
Here it is.
Here's your arm.
Give me that. That's
Honey,
mine.
The mustache.
We're busting out of here.
On three.
One.
Three.
Whoa.
Two infinity.
And beyond.
To reset your Buzz Lightyear, insert paperclip.
Rex, use your finger.
Did you fix Buzz?
Itakura espacial.
Sort of.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Return of the Astronaut.
Thank you, Jose Feliciano. Before I asked, did we need a third Toy Story? And on paper, I would have said, no, I don't. I think the first two are just fine as they are. And the fact that it's been a long time since the last Toy Story film.
When was the second one out? I want to say 97.
Ages,
no. Well, probably, I thought it was 99. If you want to double,
I will check.
Why don't you check that out, research man? That is Kobe Slagle. But I got concerned, especially since reading that there's going to be a sequel to Cars next. And
what?
Well, I've read it. I don't necessarily know. Because, you know, these films take a long time to be made. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I should stick by my policy. I don't believe anything until I see a poster or a trailer.
Oh, but yeah. Just look at Will Smith's IMDb page.
I don't want to.
There are lots of sequels and
in development
and third
stuff.
Movies that you'll
Kobe,
never see.
we'll get to that in a little bit, but we'll see about that. But I'll say that I like the film, didn't love the film. And I think a lot of people talk about there's two aspects of it that differentiate these from the other two, and I think it's a slight step down in my case. One is the end. Everybody talks about the last 20 minutes of the film, and we don't do spoiler alerts, at least not this week. If you don't know the end of this film by now, I can't help you. Mm-hmm. But the last 10 minutes does put a big lump in my throat, but not nearly as big as the Jesse montage with the Sarah McLachlan tune in Toy Story 2.
Oh,
so, yeah, that really. So as far as emotional, gut-wrenching stuff, no, it doesn't live up. The other part is, and my friend Jeff down in Georgia, who I got to get on the show one time to talk about this, really, and a few others, talked about how dark this particular one was. Some would even say it almost turned into a toy version of Schindler's List.
Oh my God.
With the daycare stuff. Oh, I put that analogy in your head. Is that they wind up, of course, as you hear, they wind up getting donated, by accident, on purpose, on accident, to a daycare center. And there's a man who rules all, and he's got the voice of Ned Beatty, and he smells like strawberries, and that's fun. Mm. But it does turn into kind of a dark, almost gulag prison picture. And then there's a great escape. Not the great escape, but a great escape. Which, by the way, all three films are great escape films if you really think about those. They're rescue missions in one way, shape, or form. So, but there is a moment near the end of the film where I think everybody in the audience is seeing the characters and a fate that they might be facing. And for half a second, my brain went, are they really going to go this way? Are they really going to turn this into the end of United 93?
They went so far
with
it.
They went really far.
I actually, you know, at my age was like, oh my God, what's going to happen to them? I mean, was freaking out.
You see characters holding hands, which
yeah.
reminded me of United 93. Like, I was just waiting for a blackout. I was just waiting for the movie to end. Boom.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had a pretty clever save. And I have to admit, I didn't see the save coming. I didn't know how they were going to get out of it, but I didn't see the save coming either. So, Gina,
it seems so impossible.
Your thoughts?
Well, before I saw the movie, I would have said, why are you doing this, having this series still continue? Eventually, you're going to fail, and then people are going to be mad at you. But I really felt like they did a good job. I like this one better than the second one.
Really? Better than number two?
The second one, I was a little thrown off by like the Buzz Lightyear storyline in there and his father and whatever. But the third movie, it got me so bad because Andy's going away to college. The toys are facing potential horrible fates. Mm-hmm. I got so emo on it that I was just freaking out.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I cried.
Oh, so did I. Not nearly as much as I did in two. That's all.
And I was just like, I had to get myself together. I'm like, but the other film critics are going to talk to me in a minute. I have to get myself together.
Oh. We'll have to have a forum on that one, because yeah, some of our peers won't admit to that.
Oh yeah, they're like, I was fine. Fine. Nothing happened.
It was okay. So okay, all right. So you liked it more than I did, but I'm going to be seeing it quite a bit because it's at our home now.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Kobe.
Probably going to be like a one time thing for me, so I'm just going to remember that one time it affected me and let that just be in my history so I don't get disappointed.
Really? This
if I
is
re-watch
one
it.
Time and it bumps. But it's not like one time and you can never ever watch it again. Like, there was that great list that The Onion had, like Irreversible and Million Dollar Baby and.
Oh, yeah.
Any Lars von Trier film.
Oh, I'm sure if I did rewatch it, I'd get emotional, but probably not as much as when I was worried about stuff happening to the toys, because that
true.
Scene was so epic.
And it was written by the people who gave us a little Miss Sunshine. Which was interesting in that case. So, all right. So I think everybody's going to be seeing this in one way, shape, or form, except Kobe.
And everyone should see it.
Why wouldn't I see it?
Why wouldn't you see it?
Because you don't like scary stuff.
But he has to see it for, like, Spanish Buzz.
What?
You have
that's
to admit,
a character.
That was
that's
awesome.
That sounded like something you're not supposed to take. Oh. Wow. And you've seen one and two, Mr. Slagle?
Seen one. I saw two, but it was years ago, which was made in 1999. And I
was
I don't
correct.
Remember when.
And
I
is,
saw it.
Did we?
I don't
see...
remember much of it.
That's
slash
fine.
Anything.
So we'll, all right. I'll add it to the potential list of what is Kobe watching.
Okay.
And yeah, Buzz Lightyear's Spanish mode gets turned on. You have to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess they develop a Jesse Buzz relationship. Michael Keaton's also in this as the voice of Ken.
Ken was great.
Ken has to be acknowledged.
Ken had the most awesome wardrobe.
Ken Defender here, folks. That's, that's nice of you to say. Mr. Slagle, so you did some research in there. Sequel to Cars?
Yeah, there's gonna be one.
Is there a poster?
Yeah, but it's weird looking.
So it's in development. And how many things does Will Smith have on his IMDb page?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, he had like a pile last I look. At least a dozen pictures.
I'm seeing filming Men in Black 3.
Oh yeah, I saw like the Men in Black 3, iRobot 2, iRobot 3, Independence Day 2, Independence Day 3. When are they gonna do all these things? Like I saw them all on the IMDb page at some point or another.
Wow.
Like pre-production,
so this
which
must
means
mean Jada...
we want to, but we don't know if we ever
No, pre-production doesn't mean squat. Filming, I guess it's actually happening. So,
I don't think any of those are actually happening.
You don't think so?
Well, and any of those iRobot and Independence Day, I don't think they're continuing.
Well,
it's
and they're
too
busy.
Long.
They're too busy pushing their kids into the business.
Ooh.
Says the guy whose daughter's on the radio. You know what? If I'm going to chuck a stone through my own house, I will. You guys can't, but I will. Nah. So, all right. So this is what we thought about Toy Story 3.
Now that was a good movie.
And even better in Gina's book, which is fine. Okay, some titles, old and new, out on DVD and Blu-ray. Oh my goodness. The Goonies, which I never really got into.
Yep, I saw that going on.
I saw that when it first came out.
I saw it, but
no.
Oh, it was recalled.
The whole set got recalled.
Oh, really? Oh.
Wow. Thank you, Dan.
There was like a defect and it got recalled, so you can't find it.
Oh, the fact that
not
it,
yet.
It's not as great as everybody says it is? Okay.
Oh. It was like a film of my generation that everybody touted as being like really amazing, but when I sat down to watch it, I was like, okay.
Also on Blu-ray, I guess the first Highlander. There can be only one. And nice. Yet they made, what, six more of those damn things? Winnebago Man, which I need to see because I've seen the YouTube clips. It's about a Winnebago salesman, and he became famous because somebody in his crew compiled a 4.5-minute profanity laced outtake reel of this guy trying to make these Winnebago commercials, and fascinating. That's what we call a niche documentary, obviously, if you're into Winnebago salesmen.
If someone recommended that to me, I'm hesitant.
Well, we'll see. Now some older titles, some of which actually might make it to my house. But I know, Gina, you're very excited because Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is now out on Blu-ray.
Yes.
The famed Ian Fleming story with Dick Van Dyke and a car.
It's a classic.
What makes it a classic?
Because I grew up with it.
Wow.
There you have it, Matt.
Those are my standards.
What a blanket statement. Do we have to remind you of everything you grew up with? Because I remember all the stuff I grew up with, and that just means it's bad and old.
Oh, the stuff I grew up with that I still like.
Ah, thank you. That narrows it down a little bit. A little. Just a tad. No, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is fine. Refer to my wife as truly scrumptious all the time, and she rolls. Yeah, well, she rolls her eyes at me.
It has such great music, and it's colorful and innocent, and has dancing and inventions. It's that nice time in your childhood where your imagination still goes wild, and
it's almost 3 hours.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize that till I was an adult and tried to make my husband watch it,
and how'd that work out for you?
He was ticked. Is it over yet? What is going on?
So what film did he force on you as payback, or hasn't he done that yet? Now he's thinking, oh, that's good. You're going to have to watch something really bad.
Oh, no. He's actually pretty good to me. He makes me watch, like, Wall Street and The Boiler Room, and I thank him for it.
Back to back?
Well, not often back to back.
Let's say Wall Street and Boiler Room, that's a double feature right there. That's a lot of testosterone and bile. Mm. Jeez. Also on Blu-ray, Sound of Music. My daughter enjoys The Sound of Music. You Should Climb Every Mountain. There you go. And
I got to be in the play of that.
You
college.
Did. You played
a nun.
No.
A background.
You weren't
nun.
One of the kids.
No. Just you. A nun.
Sister Mary Damien. Saint Rita Moreno. No?
Oh, well, you know, when you're a nameless nun, you get a lot of freedom. You get to. I made it my personal mission to try and break the other nuns when I was up there. I would just make up crap like, oh, my God, we're so excited for the wedding, blah, 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 blah. And I would just say something random and off the wall like, your shoe's untied, look. And just see who I could make crack on stage because I'm one of those people.
You've just blown your chances to ever work with director Matthew Soucy now. Somebody who doesn't stick to the script, love that.
Hey, I didn't have lines.
anybody who's worked with me as an actor, shut up. And also on DVD and Blu-ray, a film, it's old. I don't know if it's considered a classic. You might need it. Also has colors and inventions and musical numbers. The Wiz.
Oh, yeah.
With the 40-year-old Dorothy. No, she's not really Dorothy. She's a school teacher in Harlem with Diana Ross, Nipsey Russell, Mabel King, Lena Horne, Richard Pryor, all directed, bizarrely enough, of all people, by Sidney Lumet. One of my favorites, and a name that you're going to get familiar with very soon, Mr. Slagle. But Sidney Lumet, the man who gave us 12 Angry Men and The Verdict and Failsafe. And there was this weird thing in the 70s and early 80s where acclaimed directors, auteurs, dare I say, had their hand in making a musical one time. And the results usually weren't that great. Like Sidney Lumet in The Wiz. And you had Martin Scorsese doing New York, New York, which I actually liked. And that's 3 hours of angst right there. Sir Richard Attenborough doing a chorus line. Sir John, he's not knighted. John Huston directing Annie. And the list is going on and on and on. So, anyway, yeah, The Wiz.
Woot.
Get whatever shrooms you need watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and go enjoy The Wiz and ease on down the road. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk with Gina Wagner. We're going to find out what is Kobe watching. We have some tributes to pay tribute to. Wow. Some people to pay tribute to. And a list in The Onion that's pretty fascinating as far as film trailers. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We're not alone.
We got yes.
You got what?
Guests. Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like, your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Soucy. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoucy, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast, and as Melissa Davis has informed us, it's also you can also get this on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks, Melissa. By the way, Kobe, after your guest intro, go ahead and pull up the that little musical interlude you wanted to play. Gina Wagner of Haunted Flowers sitting in with me today. How are you?
Excellent.
Good to hear. Good to hear. tell us a little bit about when did you launch Haunted Flower?
My business?
Your business.
Gosh, that was in June of 2007.
And what is available?
Oh my gosh. Hauntedflower.com is my web store, and we have tons of licensed apparel from movies and music and TV shows, anime, video games, sports, nature, lots of different things. It's just like a whole crazy mix of stuff. And we do have Big Lebowski, if you like that quote.
I think eventually Mr. Slagle is going to have to watch all the films that have been used as audio for the show. It will eventually happen. Now, where did the name Haunted Flower come from? Because I don't want the people to say, like, well, it's the week after Halloween. Why do I have you on now?
Oh, it confuses a lot of people.
That's why I asked.
People ask if I sell flowers or if I have a haunted house, and I have neither.
Haunted Flowers is neither haunted nor flowers. Discuss.
Oh, yeah. I had, like, a bride call me up, like, can you do my arrangement? No. But I can sell you a T-shirt.
and did you?
No. But I do have a cool tuxedo T-shirt. Could have saved her some money.
I see.
But it's a funny story. Me and Dan like to play Mario Kart, and there's a game, Mario Kart Double Dash, where you could play as teams, and we're too competitive. If we play against each other, we fight. So if we play as a team and one of us is driving and the other one's throwing shells, we'll probably get along for a few more hours. And I like to be the princess's cousin whose name was Daisy, and Dan liked to be Boo the Ghost, and the computer named us Haunted Flower. And for some reason, we always remembered that. And, you know, we'd be like, oh, Team Haunted Flower needs to go buy some groceries. Just randomly.
You really loved the arcade scene in Scott Pilgrim, didn't you?
I did. I love Scott Pilgrim. That movie was awesome.
Which, by the way, comes out on DVD and Blu-ray next week? I think it's next week.
I think so. I really need to get it.
I can't handle Michael Cera.
No one's
Look
saying
beyond it.
No one's saying you should.
Get past it.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about that, and you're like, I was like,
well, God. I didn't hear. What is it that wrinkles you the wrong way, Mr. Slagle?
I don't know. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of the whole, I'm a little nerdy guy.
Yeah, but he kind of kicks all kinds of tail in this one, and it's not as, I'll say this, it's not as stammering and second-generation Woody Allen-ish as say, Arrested Development or Juno.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not as much. He's a little older. And by the way, and just a reminder.
So it's not, my biggest concern was, is it Michael Cera doing the typical Michael Cera
I
thing?
Don't think so. No, he's a Toronto hipster musician.
Okay.
What's
like
more
in
important
the,
about it is the style of the movie itself.
Yeah, I think you'll
being
dig,
really cool.
I think you'll dig the style of it.
Don't worry about that one guy. Look at the whole movie.
Right.
It's
See, that's
really
what
fun.
I was wondering about Due Date, and it's kind of a funny story. Is it just Zach Galifianakis doing the Zach Galifianakis thing?
Kinda. A
yeah.
little.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, he had to get some big money for this after he did It's Kind of a Funny Story, which was his independent film that he appeared in.
Uh-huh.
So we move on.
Okay.
You have action figures and figurines and memorabilia. Do you have a Pam Grier action figure for my producer here? His Christmas is coming up very soon.
No.
No? You don't have that?
What?
You don't think somebody hasn't made a Pam Grier bobblehead?
Oh, my gosh.
But
I just put that idea in your brain now.
It is the 5th of November, and I did once have V for Vendetta action figures.
Oh, that's nice. Doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Sorry. Oh,
let's just throw every Scarlet Pimpernel, Bush, Tony Blair, the war, whatever, and just put it in a blender. But no transgender people. The Wachowski brothers. Okay, let's move on. We'll be a part of this. Stay with me, Mr. Slag. Why don't you play your show intro? You're so smart.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I
know you do.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
Now, last week, you're a little behind. And well, it's been a long week because you 2 weeks ago, I gave you Apocalypse Now and the documentary Hearts of Darkness.
Yep.
And you got through Apocalypse Now.
Yep, did that.
And you now need to watch Hearts of Darkness, especially since that film's director, George Hickenlooper, died on October 30th, sadly, at the age of 47. The man who gave us... he gave us a couple of feature films. He did Factory Girl with Sienna Miller, the film that's not I Shot Andy Warhol, and The Man from Elysian Fields with Andy Garcia and Mick Jagger, where Andy Garcia becomes not an American gigolo, but a gigolo nonetheless. But he also did the documentaries of Hearts of Darkness, which I still love. Brilliant documentary. The Mayor of Sunset Strip, which was about L.A. DJ Rodney Bingenheimer. Monty Hellman, American auteur. He also directed the short film some folks call The Sling Blade, which, of course, Billy Bob Thornton starred in and, of course, wound up directing the full-length feature film himself. And then he also did the documentary Picture This, The Times of Peter Bogdanovich in Archer City, Texas, which is about the making of Texasville, the sequel to The Last Picture Show. So, out of respect, go get into some Hearts of Darkness.
Okay.
Now, you also, last week, I gave you Shaft and Foxy Brown.
Because I don't like scary stuff.
Because you don't like scary stuff, and I'm a nice guy. Yep. So, your thoughts, you know, you got through Shaft.
Got through Shaft.
And?
It was cool, but action is slow in the 70s.
You kids in your fast editing and your ADD, whatever, got to have a shot every 3 seconds, person.
Recognize.
Get off my lawn.
It was cool, though. I liked it.
Richard Roundtree's badass in that.
I know. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying it.
And the best song to ever win an Oscar for best song.
Shift.
That's right. And you're still going to spend quality time with Foxy Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, that's not
you have
not
candles
a
and a brandy glass and an ascot and a robe ready to watch Foxy Brown? Yes.
Man. When you paint the picture like that.
Spending quality time with Pam Grier? I did. All right. Because you don't have enough on your queue, but I'm going to give you two more.
Okay.
And then we'll see how much you get through it. Speaking of films from the 70s, one from 1969, the other from 1976. One, directed by Sidney Lumet, one of my favorite filmmakers.
Oh, you were just talking about him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was. This is a film.
See, I pay attention.
Thank you. Listening is a skill. And but this is a film that I still think holds up and is more relevant than ever after 35 some odd years. Network. Faye Dunaway's in it.
Oh, yes, she is.
Yeah, you'll enjoy that. And Peter Finch and William Holden and Ned Beatty, who, of course, was in Toy Story 3. Well, his voice is in Toy Story 3. And from 1969, you saw The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, which has one of my favorite shootout scenes in Western history. Here's the other one. Sam Peckinpah's The Wild Bunch.
All right.
Sam Peckinpah's masterpiece. Also, William Holden. You got Robert Ryan, Ben Johnson, Warren Oates, Ernest Borgnine. Great cast.
Cool.
You're going to love it. So you got four films. Enjoy.
Will do.
Now, Gina, what else have you seen recently? Being prompted over there?
I can't make out what he's saying. I recently watched the whole Alien anthology that got released to Blu-ray.
All of them? All four of them?
Three and a half. I'm still in
still
four.
Working.
I paused it and walked away, and I'll come back to it.
Alien Resurrection?
I also had to do the same thing during the third movie. I paused it, waited a few days, and came back.
During what?
The third movie.
Oh, Alien 3?
Alien with
David
the little
Fincher.
Three.
Yeah. To the third power.
Yeah, the exponential aliens.
Cubed. Cubed, yeah. So.
Oh, man.
Had you seen those before?
Well, it's been a really long time, and I'd seen each of them only once, and I had never seen the third Alien movie. So my opinion is still that Alien is pretty great. Aliens is really awesome. What were they doing in Alien 3?
They let David Fincher direct it. That's why.
We went from like horror sci-fi to prison drama.
Sci-fi action,
yes,
to
specifically.
Really downer prison drama.
I was so depressed watching that.
Here comes my age. I got to review Alien 3 in college.
Ooh.
And Fincher was already known, I think that was his first feature film, but he had already been known for making a number of videos, if you could check that up, Mr. Slagle, and see which ones he did. I may have watched them, maybe. but I think, obviously, he was taking it in a different direction. I'm sure Sigourney Weaver had something to do with that, since she got a nomination for the second film. But yeah, I'm with you on that. First two films, excellent in mm-hmm. their own way.
And the third one, she turns into G.I. Jane.
Depressed G.I. Jane. And then yes. Alien Resurrection is odd, and there's Winona Ryder, and it's kind of strange.
My opinion is it's like a weird fan fiction movie.
It's from the French director who gave us City of Lost Children.
Didn't Joss Whedon write it?
We'll have to check on that.
I thought he did at least the first draft. I don't know what happened after that. But I put myself through not the theatrical versions, but like the director cuts from like 2003.
Right.
So the third movie ends up being like 3 hours. And that's why I had to walk away.
Wow.
And Winona Ryder's so whiny in Resurrection. I can't get over her. I can't get used to her character because she's, I want to stop the aliens. Don't you guys want to stop the aliens?
I don't know.
No.
Do we want to stop the aliens?
We want you to get eaten by them, but you don't seem to.
What, Kobe?
I've seen Alien.
The first one?
Uh-huh.
Well,
that
good for you.
Cool.
And I also saw Predator.
But you didn't see the verses, right?
No.
Good. You don't need to.
Okay. But the first two Alien movies hold up really well for their effects and everything.
And Bill Paxton.
Practical. Oh, that's the best performance of Bill Paxton's career. Seriously.
Better than Chet
game
and Weird,
over, man.
Better
game
than
over.
Chet and Weird Science.
It's game over.
I understand.
All
that.
The way.
No, I was just pushing your buttons on that. It's quite all right. All right. There was an article in The Onion. Well, Inventory, because I love their inventory and all the paper it prints out. 24 movie trailers that function as standalone works of art.
Nice.
Okay, so here we go. Number one. Well, these aren't in any particular order. We're just going through them, but I just love that the top one is a great example, and right now is my favorite film of the year, The Social Network.
Sweet.
If you remember that one. The trailer, not the film itself. The film itself is pretty memorable. Dr. Strangelove, or How I Stopped Worrying and Loved the Bomb.
I love that movie.
You'll be seeing that sometime soon.
You haven't seen that yet?
This is why we have the segment, What is Kobe Watching?
Oh, my God. That's excellent. A classic in my book.
Ah,
my standards.
Number three. Yeah, it's a film that hopefully Kobe will be seeing very soon. Little background story, gang, for those who are regular listeners to this program. Kobe and I are both involved in a, for entertainment purposes only, fantasy football league.
Yep.
And by the way, my team is, yes, here, you know where it's coming.
Yeah.
My team, of course, is called the Tommy Wiseau All-Stars. Fans of the room will know that. But our two teams are going to be playing each other, I think, next week.
Probably next week.
And we decided to have our own version of the Oaken Bucket game for you Purdue and IU fans out there. And the wager is, if Kobe wins, he gets to watch another Pam Grier film, because that's, he wants to do that. But if my team should win, he has to watch Psycho, the Alfred Hitchcock film. And he's not a fan of scary movies. And by the way, number three on this list, Psycho. The original, not the remake. Number four, Real Life, the Albert Brooks film, which I highly recommend, especially now, more than ever, with the... and I don't know if this is on DVD. I'll have to check that out. But it's a film where it's supposed to be a documentary about a family that's being filmed 24/7 on television. This came out in 1979. Citizen Kane? Yes. We'll add that to the list, Kobe. Number 60, Roger Corman car movie Eat My Dust, directed by Ron Howard. Love that. Number 7, It's Alive, the original Larry Cohen killer bait demonic deformed baby movie. If you go to The Onion, or if you're you can go on YouTube right now and check out these trailers. These are a lot of fun. And number 8 and number 9, oof, the Vincent Gallo double feature, Buffalo 66 and the Brown Bunny. Chloe, sorry. Number 10, Comedian. It's the documentary about Jerry Seinfeld doing stand-up after he got done doing his program. But what's fun is it's the one of the deep voice trailer guys who keeps going in. And the trailer is basically he winds up getting fired because he's using all the cliches. And it's a documentary. Number 11, the original Tobe Hooper, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay. Number 12, The First Spider-Man from 2002. Yes. Yay. Number 13, Toys, which, you know, the trailer was basically Robin Williams riffing for about a minute and a half.
When is he not doing that?
That's true. He wasn't in the Barry Levinson film, but in the trailer, or if he's on TV, yes. Mm-hmm. Number 14, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, which I think you darn kids should see, because that's Steve Martin. It's a Steve Martin black and white detective story with Rachel Ward and Carl Reiner, but it's incorporated with all these classic 30s, 40s, and 50s black and white detective movies.
I like Steve Martin and Carl Reiner.
Good.
I would watch
and it's
that.
Not a remake of a film like Steve Martin's done in the last decade. Number 15, A Serious Man, a film that got nominated last year by the Coen brothers, and I'll stick by it. Number 16, nice. Alien, which I remember seeing on TV when I was 9, the trailer, and that scared the bejeebies out of me. Number 17, Magnolia, love the frogs. Number 18, The Minus Man, never saw it. Number 19, The Original Shining.
Oh,
now that is scary.
That's the one where it's just blood coming out of the
bloody
elevator.
Bloody elevator. Yeah.
Bloody elevator.
Oh, no, the twins are the worst. They're worse than the blood.
I think the old lady in the bathtub's pretty
cool. Oh,
I had to run out of the horrifying. Room during that scene, so I never watched it till I was an adult because that freaked me out.
Well, that is one you have seen. That's right.
Yeah, I've seen The Shining.
Did you think about the poor person that had to type all those pages?
Oh.
That could have been your job.
Man.
Copy paste.
The funny thing is,
Control C, Control V.
They didn't have that in 1979. Well, actually, this was 1979, which means Stanley Kubrick probably 1980, which means Stanley Kubrick probably started filming it in 1978.
And the funny thing is, all work and no play made Jack a Dull Boy. That's wasn't right. even in the book.
No, that was well. There's a lot that weren't in the book. So,
oh yeah.
So that's why
different interpretations.
That's why Stephen King made his TV version was bad.
This wasn't as scary.
No, not even close. Number 20, She's Gotta Have It, the Spike Lee film. Number 21, Femme Fatale. Yes, the Brian De Palma film noir with Antonio Banderas and Rebecca Romijn Stamos. Which is fun because they basically, in 2 minutes, show you the entire film.
Oh,
but what's funny is because it's so sped up, you can't really follow. You get moments. That's about it. Don't look at me like that. Number 22, Superman Returns. Number 23, yes. Anatomy of a Murder. Great courtroom drama. And number 24, last on this list, a film that I thought was the best film of last year, Spike Jonze's Where the Wild Things Are. So there you go. Some of those you might have to see, sir.
Okay.
All right. This is your future.
Yeah, that's your future. So all those are pretty good. All right, now... Those who are, as I say before, longtime listeners of Film Sociology, you know that this show is extremely pro The Room, the Tommy Wiseau
yes.
quasi masterpiece. And, well, we found this. And, Kobe, why don't you introduce this? Because you love this. And this is, they can make a remix out of anything.
It's just a dubstep remix of The Room.
Great. Let's hear a sample,
let's
not the whole
little,
thing.
Just a little taste.
Yeah. Oh boy.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa. You are tearing me apart, Lisa. You are tearing me apart, Lisa. Me apart. Me apart. You are tearing me apart, Lisa. You are tearing me apart, Lisa. You are tearing me apart, Lisa. Me apart. Me apart.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, that's enough of that. That's really you haven't seen The Room yet, have you, Gina?
No.
Really?
Oh, man.
But I'm liking the song here.
but you know of the film.
You're gonna have to explain.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry.
Best worst movie ever made.
Oh. Ooh, says Kobe Slagle.
Well, that's what it, I mean. That's
better
what
than
always
Plan
gets billed
9?
As.
I know it's. Wow, that's gonna. We need another hour if we're gonna break that one down. No, this is a film that came out about 4 years ago, and since then it's been playing at least once a month in Los Angeles. And the director, who depending on who you talk to, apparently was making a very serious drama about a man jilted by his lover, his love, and the overwhelming response and how inept the film was, and the fact that. L.A. hipsters started to go see this film like Rocky Horror almost, you know, every week, week after week after week. And sometime Mr. Wiseau, I think, embraced the fact his cult status. And now he's doing lectures and Well, he's not really doing lectures. He's doing appearances and answering questions whether he wants to or not.
Yep. He's trying to.
Trying.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's done a few of those. Kobe got to go to a screening and got to meet him in Bloomington earlier this year. Mm-hmm. I heard that there's going to be a screening in Louisville in February.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm also very concerned because it's also on my wife's birthday, and I don't think she's going to let me go. Unless I come up with something amazing the day before, I doubt it.
You got time.
I have time, so we'll work on it. So, anyway, we'll organize you to watch this. It's all kinds of all kinds of fun. So, geez, I want to shift gears for just a little bit and pay tribute to a coworker here at WFYI and a friend, Kirk Butler, who was one of the engineers on Sound Medicine. And a man who worked with many, many different musicians over the years died suddenly this past week. The people he had worked with, musicians he worked with as an engineer, included the likes of John Mellencamp, Willie Nelson, Miles Davis, even Gene Deere, who I'll be playing on the blues show tomorrow. And he's got a special place in my heart, one, because he's only one of maybe two or three people that I allow to bring music in to be played on the Blues House Party. Sorry, Kobe. and it was fun talking with him about music. He was not a name dropper like yours truly. but when you got stories out of him, like the time he told me he got to record Miles Davis and you know, back when John Mellencamp was Johnny Cougar. So it was fun hearing his stories. Yeah. But he was also a fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000, which I adore. And I know he and Mary Hartnett would see many of those films. And he thought it was funny that I was inflicting carefully Mystery Science Theater on my daughter. But he was also a fan of the films of Werner Herzog, the German director that's given us everything from A Gear, Wrath of God, Fitzcarraldo, Grizzly Man, Journey to the End of the World. Just a fine, fine filmmaker. And I don't know if you saw these on YouTube, but he was also a film that we talked about quite often was the German drama Downfall, which had a brilliant performance by Bruno Ganz as playing Hitler in his final days. And there's a scene in the film where Hitler is talking at his strategy table. And he picks up basically throws a fit like a head coach and trashes the table. Well, it got to the point where any news item that was coming up at that time, the first time I saw it on YouTube was about Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign going down the toilet. And all the subtitles were replaced with that aspect. I think there was one about the Colts not starting all their players and going for a perfect season, about every other election. You know, anything like that. And then I think finally the producers got wind of this and had a pulled a stop on having the film Downfall on YouTube. But I bet some basement dweller who is not in this room has probably put it up on YouTube some way, shape, or form. Anyway, it was fun to show those to Kirk. So, Kirk, if you're wherever you are, thanks for the memories and thanks for the movie stuff. So, Gina, please plug your information once more so people can check out all of your film goodness.
Okay. My online apparel store, hauntedflower.com. My film site is hauntedflowerreviews.com. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/hauntedflower. And I'm indiemojo.com. Oh, and I'm on a roller derby team.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Ladies, I'm so sorry. So you enjoyed Whip It?
Yeah. But I mostly just fast forward to the actual
parts. We don't talk about Kansas City Bomber, even though it has Raquel Welch on wheels?
No, not so much. But I did recently watch Hell on Wheels, a documentary about roller derby starting up again in Austin, Texas a few years back.
Cool. Here's some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Gina Wagner, thank you so much for sitting in.
Thanks for having me.
On behalf of Kobe Slagle, I'm Matthew Sosi. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Happy birthday, honey. Happy birthday, Emma. Lynn, I'll be there soon. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.